Good evening and welcome once again to the Rabbi Yosef Kalter Bitocha Message Series, sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. David and Orly Simai, Le'ilui Nishmas, Eliyahu Chaim ben Horav Chaim Yitzchok and Oren ben Moshe, and Le'ilui Nishmas, Gitel Basorav Eliezer Manoach, and now Le'ilui Nishmas this week, Le Harav Menachem Yechiel David ben Avrom Yeshua Heschel, Rabbi David Trink. We all know that in life we have to learn to cope and to survive and rise above the challenges and the most severe challenges and tragedies that take place. And that koyach emanates from a great sense of trust in Hashem. But it's a little bit different kind of a trust than the trust that says, I trust everything is going to be all right. Because in reality, something has happened in a very final form that is not going to change, at least not right now. And therefore, it's a sort of a different type of an attitude, of a trust that we must have. The Gemara in Maseches Mochos tells us that Rabbi Akiva lost his great son, Rabbi Shimon. And at the Levaya in Tveria, like 10,000 people came to the Levaya. And Rabbi Akiva gets up and he's maspid his son and he says that your coming here has given me a great sense of consolation of Nechoma. And even had I buried 7 sons, this would have given me a Nechoma. And don't think that it's easy to bury a son. But your coming here means, whether it's indicative or it caused, my son is a Ben Olam Haba. My son has a chelik in the world to come, in the eternal world. That is a nechoma to me, and you have brought me that nechoma. And Rabbi Akiva's speech is a little bit strange, even had I buried 7 sons, and don't think it's easy. And I think really what it means is, it's impossible to have nechoma on a tragedy. How can we feel good about a tragedy? How can we really take consolation about a tragedy? Especially a great loss, a loss of a great person, a person who has and was continuing to accomplish so much. And really it doesn't make sense to find nechoma. But when I know, and if I do find nechoma, it sounds like it's, I didn't care too much. He says, no, even if I buried 7 sons. And don't think it's easy. Of course I care. But my sons have been in Olam Haba. That is above everything else. When I know and when I trust Hashem and I know due to the indications that I have in this world that my son is truly a Ben Olam Haba, then that makes everything else easier. That's truly a sign of a Nechoma which really should be impossible to achieve. But the nitzchius, the confidence in Hashem that this neshama is well taken care of in the Olam HaEmes, that really says it all, and that really gives me the strength to be able to find consolation despite the magnitude of the tragedy. I would like to read you something which was written the day of Rabbi David Trink's Levaya by someone who knew him and was very makir toiv to him and to his Rebbetzin. David Cohen is his name. And he writes as follows, please bear with me. The 14 princes were bright, studious, and successful in everything they did. It was only the youngest son, Jacob, who brought the king much grief. Whereas all his brothers had seen great success under the expert tutelage of the official royal instructor, Professor Abrams, Jacob was a failure. The professor saw immediately that as easy and enjoyable teaching his brothers who loved learning had been, so would it be difficult and unenjoyable teaching Jacob, who was their polar opposite. The professor tried his best, but after a few weeks gave up. The king tried many other teachers, each one lasting only a few weeks with the same results. The king was at a loss. He had so much nachas from all of his other children. Would his last one ruin it all? Quote, "What is my entire kingdom worth if my beloved youngest son will grow up to be a fool?" End quote. Thought the king as he slowly fell into depression. Mr. Justin was a teacher at one of the local schools who had a tremendous love for the king and couldn't bear to see him suffering. One day, he came before the king and offered his services. Although the king doubted he would succeed where all others had failed, being desperate and having nothing to lose, he agreed to give it a try. Mr. Justin put his heart and soul into teaching Jacob. Instead of giving up where all others had, his love for the king and Jacob spurred him on. He recognized the underlying issues that Jacob was struggling with and spent countless hours trying to discover his hidden strengths, and after a few years of tireless effort, he began to see a transformation. Jacob wouldn't turn out like his older brothers had, but he'd be no failure either. The king's happiness knew no bounds. He fully recovered from his depression and could not stop thanking Mr. Justin for saving his son's life and through it his own. The following year, at the great royal banquet celebrating 50 years of his rule, the king seated Mr. Justin right next to him, showering him with honor no one else in the kingdom had ever received. A few weeks later, when Professor Abrams, the teacher of all the king's other children, had the opportunity to ask the king, "I understand His Majesty's gratitude to Mr. Justin for turning his youngest son into a successful member of society, but has he forgotten who turned his other 14 children into the much greater successes that they had become?" "I'm surprised someone as bright as you can think so superficially," replied the king. "Is the difference between what you did and what Mr. Justin did not as clear as day? You enjoyed every moment of teaching my other children as they grasped what you taught quickly and gave you much pride in their success. And if you had not been the agent to bring about their success, many others would have been glad to do the same. Of course, I will be forever grateful for what you have done, but how can that compare to the gratitude I must have for Mr. Justin? Where everyone else gave up, out of his great love for me, he persevered. He suffered through many months of coaxing my son into learning, trying all sorts of ways to get through to him, absent the enjoyment of seeing success, without giving up. Most importantly, if not for his sacrifice, no one else would have saved my dear son, and I who love more than life itself, and my life would still be turned upside down over his fate. Yesterday, the holy neshama of the tzaddik, Rav David Trenk Zatzal, arrived in Shemayim. He who, out of his great love for the King of heaven and earth, Hashem, couldn't bear his suffering over those of his children, those princes who others had given up on. He who put his heart and soul into teaching them, and instead of giving up where all others had, his love for Hashem and his children spurred him on. He who spent countless hours showering them with love, recognizing the underlying issues they struggled with and toiling to uncover their hidden struggles until meriting to witness their transformation. Not all of them would become Talmidei Chachomim themselves, but they would be successful children of Hashem, relieving his infinite suffering over their fate. Most importantly, if he hadn't saved them, who else would have? Yesterday, this holy neshama was led to its esteemed place right beside the Kisei Kovet. In the world of truth, no one wondered why. We have the need, and Bezus Hashem, the ability to find solace in the most tragic situations. When we focus on a life's accomplishments, when we focus on the Yerusha that's left to future generations, because of those accomplishments. And when we recognize that this great neshama is guaranteed a place in Gan Eden, in the eternal world of eternal reward and eternal bliss, that trust that we have in Hashem, that these positive rewards will be forthcoming, is what gives us the strength to cope with some of the most tragic difficulties in life. Hashem should help that the entire Mishpocha, and the Rebbetzin and the Mishpocha, find Nechoma in the most unbelievable, legendary work of their great husband, father, and to know that the peiros of that Mesiras Nefesh, of the Mesiras Nefesh of Reb Dovid and his family, his Rebbetzin and his family, that has produced Doirei Doirois, an army of generations that no one could possibly even calculate in their accomplishments, in their numbers, and in the passion for Yiddishkeit, which he had inspired each and every one of them.